What's up, players, skaters, and everyone else in between? This is Serial Killer, and I'm here with Enforcer.
We've got another special guest today. Today we're interviewing a renowned roller derby photographer out of the West Coast. This amazing individual mainly photographs the Foxy and Foxtail Flyers. Today we're here with Invader Zoom.
And hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Invader Zoom. I am part of Zoom Photography. Well, actually, I am Zoom Photography. I'm sorry.
No, you're
Like
good. How
I
long have you been in the industry? Like, how long have you been? You'd kind of given us a tidbit that you used to be a skater, that played roller derby, and now you're kind of primarily a photographer. How long have you been in the roller derby industry and as a whole?
As a whole, oof. I want to say, so back whenever I kind of really got into it, I want to say I really started liking it around 2013. One of my old high school buddies actually tried starting up one here. Unfortunately, that disbanded. And so I want to say maybe 2017 is when I really picked it back up again, and then COVID happened, unfortunately. And that was my official retirement.
Yeah,
COVID.
COVID, did you?
Yeah, it unfortunately did. We financially couldn't keep it stable, and yeah, so I unofficially officially retired into 2020. It makes me sad.
It was a tough year.
Wow. What, so were you always drawn towards photography? Has photography always been in your life?
Oh yeah. My mom was a combat camera in the military, and I just kind of grew up around it, with cameras, with Photoshop. I just love it. It's the
So would
freedom of
you,
creation.
sorry. I was gonna say, so did you, is photography kind of like a profession for you, or do you have a normal person day job?
I wouldn't say it's a normal person day job. So I actually edit for, I'm a contractor for the military.
Oh, cool.
So we do a lot of other things, but primarily I edit videos for them from their combat camera. They bring us all the raw videos, and at the end of what we call a rotation, we give little THPs of hero videos just to show them kind of like all the achievements that they did. So, like I said, photography and videography is like a big part of
Wow.
my life.
How did you decide to implement that into like your roller derby life? And since you've got into roller derby, why did you decide photography was the best fit, I guess?
Because I just love the community so much that it was my way of giving back to him since I knew I couldn't skate anymore with anybody. I live way too far from like the nearest team, and the traffic would have always made me
Yeah.
late. So it was just something that was a decision. And when I started to, so and I had noticed like in my area, I don't know if it's like this for other areas, but in my area there was primarily like two, maybe three photographers. And so I got a chat with them. Actually, so like, I'm sorry, four photographers, or no, three photographers and one videographer. I'm so sorry. So we kind of have that little community going on with that.
So you kind of roughly talked about like the retirement process. Was that a really difficult decision to make for you?
It was a very difficult decision. Like I said, the nearest team is from where I live is about, I want to say, an hour and
Oh,
15
wow.
minute drive. But I work, yeah, but where I work is 40 minutes away from my own house. So,
Oh,
and
yeah.
so just the drive alone would have always made me late. So making that decision of retirement was hard because I really love skating. I love being a jammer, or I miss being a jammer, but it was
Yeah.
hard.
Do you think like if there was a team that maybe popped up closer to you in your area, would you continue skating, or do you think that photography has kind of become that passion and you'd rather kind of excel in that category?
Probably both, honestly. I would go back to skating in general just because I know a lot of the teammates that I have skated with or the ones that have seen me play in the past really, really miss me skating. But I knew it would be really hard to do both. That would be the biggest problem.
You mentioned your old teammates. But, do you still stay involved with your old teams?
Not the two teams that I was with. Unfortunately, a lot of us like left on unhappy terms. Unfortunately, but the ones that I do primarily photograph now, they have moved on to other teams, and I just, so anytime that I'm with them, like photographing their bouts, we just kind of just chit chat for a little bit while I'm not distracting them. So a little bit stay in touch with some of the old teammates, but not as much as I would like.
Kind of a little bit of a catch up moment.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Do you have you like played in any mashups recently or anything, or has it been completely no derbies?
It's been no derbies. Aww. And it makes me sad.
Aww. So we need to get a team popped up in your area, right?
Somebody needs to
get on that.
I get told that all the time. It's so in my area, it's kind of unique because I live in the Mojave Desert.
Oh, okay.
Skating on sand.
Yeah, so we...
Skating on sand dunes.
Kinda. That would be fun. But unfortunately, no. The closest dune is like, I want to say maybe 2 hours away from here.
Oh, so you're just out of luck. You can't even skate on the sand dunes?
Oh, nope. Wow.
Unfortunately.
So do you still skate? Do you stay active and skate and stuff?
Oh, I do. Nice. Actually, I just got done skating yesterday. Yep, I don't like jam skate like all the other Instagram jammer skaters. I would love to learn, but my feet are awkward. Can't get it done. So I just primarily just like speed skate or just skate around and just have fun. Skating in general is great. It is.
Do you have any like skating rinks in your area at all, or is it just like in the desert?
So when we did have our team, we actually did skate on one of the only skating rinks that was around for miles. With the wooden floors, all of that. Unfortunately, though, that's kind of where the bad turns came in play. The owner of it didn't quite like us too much.
Oh. So,
yeah, she kept trying to screw us out of our money.
Aw.
Yeah, so that was fun. So that was partially why we all disbanded.
Right.
But all we have are tennis courts and... tennis courts.
That's about
tennis
it.
Courts. Tennis courts.
Yeah, that's about all we have.
Emma and I recorded some videos on some tennis courts.
Tennis courts are very handy.
My
boyfriend grew up kind of playing tennis through school and stuff, and he always gets like mad triggered when I'm like trying to skate on the tennis courts because it's like ruining the court or whatever. I'm like, okay. I want to play tennis on skates.
Ooh, that'd be fun. I want to try that.
That's maybe a proposition of a video that I want to do with Emma one of these days.
Do it.
Maybe when she's in town.
And Zoom, you've kind of spoken, and I get the feeling, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but did you grow up pretty active as a kid? Were you always in sports, or was roller derby kind of the first team sport that you were in?
Oh, no. My mom got me into, actually, it's funny because tennis was me yelling at her when I was like four. So she taught me a lot of sports too. She had me on softball. She had me on t-ball. Soccer was my least favorite sport. I don't know what it was about soccer. I just never got into it.
It's because you got to run everywhere.
Probably. Chasing a ball. Yeah, no. I bladed. The only sport I really haven't played was football and basketball. But I grew up on skates my whole life, like ice skating and, like I said, blading. But it's all been for like speed skating.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. So did you, like, did you, I don't know if excel is the right word, did you commit a lot of time to any one sport in particular like you did for roller derby? Was there, like, another sport at one time that was your sport out of all the different ones that you've participated in?
No, actually.
No?
Roller derby was, when I first started playing roller derby, it was just everything mm-hmm. that I loved. It was just all the little package put up into one. The I almost said baseball. The football, the hockey, the racing, all of that. It was just my neat little package, and that's why roller derby was always my sport after so many yeah. years.
We kind of talked about this in a few of our previous episodes, actually, I feel like multiple times, about how, like, privileged some people are to have, like, a good booming roller derby community. Like, Emma, they don't have a skating rink where she's from either, so it's a lot of trying to find venues where they can practice, and I'm sure firsthand she understands how difficult sometimes that can be to get a rink to practice in and all that. Me, on the other hand, I've always been privileged enough to have a rink and a team mm-hmm. and all that. But my heart really goes out to
yeah.
you, because that sucks. We need to get you a roller derby team. We need to get something going out there.
Yeah. California is weird when it comes to, like, getting financial stuff together, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, their liability. We tried for, like, we actually tried going out to another rink. I think, I'm sorry, we have, like, two rinks out here. But it's still, like, right. kind of miles apart. But the other one is more like a concrete roller skating instead of the wooden one like we were skating on. But they were just, they kind of made it awkward for us as well. So I'm
Aww.
Like, we really have nowhere yeah. to go.
Well, it's hard, especially when, you know, I feel like the financial standpoint of, like, a rink owner sometimes can be mm-hmm. difficult too, just
oh,
knowing
yeah.
where to get your money in
yeah.
and stuff. And if they're not charging you enough, they could potentially mm-hmm. be losing money.
And I think roller derby specifically
so sometimes
is
hard.
Such, this is what I've ran into, I guess, firsthand with, like, venues. Roller derby is such a niche sport where it's not really mainstream yet, and it should
yeah.
be. And so I think a yep. lot of different business owners, rightfully so, you know, they just don't understand because they aren't around a roller derby team. They haven't been involved in a roller derby team, which gives them more reason to be. But I think it's just an understanding point of view where they don't understand how influential this community could be to their business. So I think that has to play. Not
oh, yeah.
I don't want to say ignorance, but sometimes ignorance as well, but... Yeah.
And some of it is, some of it's also, like, when you go to a skating rink, you're not seeing roller derby players. You might be seeing inline skaters or jam skaters, or even sometimes, like, a speed skater or two. Of course, they're not going to be performing at the speed that they might perform in a game or whatever, a race. But
yeah.
you're not seeing just, like, roller derby players practice, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's some of it too. Like, you know, if somebody's trying to open a skating rink, they're not going to see
right.
us. So we kind of go under the radar. Kind of go under the radar a little
yeah.
bit.
Is there? Yeah, it is sad, but hopefully,
no,
I think
that.
With COVID, there was a lot of, like, really sad stuff that happened. And within the roller derby community and the world as a whole. But I think, I guess I'm personally speaking with our league, I think we definitely saw, like, a resurgence of it again, where it kind of gained popularity because it wasn't around for so long. And then it's coming back and some awesome things are happening. Teams are playing in tournaments and it's all coming back together.
Oh, you know, it is. It's a thrill
yeah.
to see it just come back. Actually, so out here, the adults are great out here, but the juniors out here, just watching them bounce back, because
mm-hmm.
they never stopped.
Agreed, yeah.
after 2020, and they're, like, some of the teams that I primarily photograph for, some of their girls are actually on our
yeah.
Team USA.
Oh.
Yeah, they're hardcore, like, derby is their life. was like, I wish we had this when I was younger.
So you kind of mentioned, or I guess it, you know, being a photographer, you kind of visually see all this stuff going around, and you talk about all the talent that you're actively seeing all the time. Do you think that there are things that you are still learning about roller derby that maybe you didn't see or realize as a skater?
Yes. Oh man. So when I was playing, a lot of the penalties confused me, but now that I'm seeing it on the opposite end and talk to the refs and everything, I wish I had that understanding back when I was playing, because I used to get multiplayers. I got cut tracks a lot, not multiplayers. The multiplayer still confuses me, though.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line from what I see.
It's a little bit up to perception there. No, I could just imagine. We always tell a lot of our newer skaters, like, watch gameplay. Watch as much gameplay as you can. It's just going to make you better to be able to visually see this stuff from the outside. Yeah. It's awesome to be able to play it and to repetitively go to practices and do the things. You know, you need that to know how to play. But you become really good watching roller derby and watching a variety of roller derby.
Oh, yeah.
So I could only imagine the amount of information that you have the ability to take in.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
And since I played it, I'm like, huh, so that's what we were doing wrong.
you're like, wait, I'm actually kind of figuring it out now.
Wait,
it's my.
But if I were to play, I would know what to do.
Right.
Right? No. So you're not losing at all. You're gaining some.
I think that's really cool, too, is like you're still involved in the community and you're a photographer and you're still actively learning about the game as you go. It's really cool.
Oh, yay.
You've been involved in the derby community for a really long time. What are some, there's probably so many different moments, I can believe it. But if you can pinpoint a few or just one, what have been some of your favorite moments as a derby photographer?
Ooh, that's a good question. I can't. Dang it. I remember one photograph that I actually am kind of proud that I took. It was watching two opposing teammates actually lift each other up.
Oh, wow.
Probably one of my favorite ones. I think it was one of the junior teams that I was photographing. And she actually fell, if I remember correctly, she fell coming out of the penalty box. And one of the other players that was coming up just kind of helped her out. And they're just smiling and just giggling right after that.
That's funny.
So that's probably one of my favorite moments, just watching teammates, and especially kids. Like, I hope that they maintain that mentality the entire time. Like, they're, yes, you can take the game seriously, but just have fun. Mm-hmm. Have fun. Nobody's competition. That's all I want to see.
Right.
But trying to think of another favorite moment.
I'm trying to think of some of my favorite roller derby moments.
There's a lot.
There is. That's why I started to pinpoint.
I feel like for me, I feel like sometimes, and I don't know where it comes from, when I play in specific games, it's like my adrenaline peaks higher than than other games. I wish I could say I had the same amount of like adrenaline or hype as I do every single game, but I don't know. There's just random games where it comes out a lot. And I actually do reference, and I think about a game that Emma and I actually played together in. And I think it was when we were in, I don't know. We went to a tournament.
South Carolina.
Where were we at? Yeah, we were in South Carolina, and we were playing against a game, and there's actually like a video of Emma and I hugging each other. But that game, I remember just being so like, just like, there was so much adrenaline going through my veins, and I was like so anxious. It was like, I was like, I don't even know, but it's just that feeling is so addictive, I guess. So I sometimes kind of think back to that vibe. I think it was like the last jam of a game that was like pretty stinking close. And it's just that fear of not knowing who's going to win, because it all comes down to the last jam sort of thing. And yeah, I think that, those moments are some of my favorites.
Yeah, there's still too many. Even as a favorite moment of a skater, that one's really hard. I can definitely name my worst one that kind of like drove me to want to be a better skater. I do know that memory.
Let's hear it.
It was like the third game that I ever played. And I'm still relatively new, and I wasn't like in my fitness like I am now. Mm-hmm. I was jamming. I had like five, no, not five. I had four cut track penalties on the line. They let me go back out one more time because my coach was like, you might be done after this. Because it was a really bad game. And I remember one blocker in particular going, "Are you even trying?"
So that
I dwelled on it the rest of the game. That was like my really bad game, but I'd have to say that was probably my favorite moment because that's what drove me to become a better skater.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, a negative way, right, turning something positive.
I think I feel like that's so important. Do you have any memories like that, Emma, of like things people have said to you that maybe just like stuck with you for some reason?
I think it applies to everyday life. I think you mentioned it's like a bad way or it's a bad memory, but it has good and I don't know how to say this in a way that like it has good intentions.
It's just like,
within the way that you I guess your mindset and the way that you handle it. So it's like you can either dwell on it and let it affect the way that you play and the way that you continue your career, or you can dwell on it and want to become a better skater like you did. So I think it just depends on the way that you want to take that and use it.
Exactly.
No, yeah, it's just like, although that wasn't very constructive,
right,
it's just like taking that criticism in a constructive mm-hmm. way.
Right.
One of mine that I remember is actually from Strom.
One of my teammates.
Storm. Yeah, that's one. And Miss Stromboli herself. I hope she watches these. She probably doesn't.
Aw.
she's blocking our account right now just because I called her Stromboli.
Like, come on, Shelby.
Okay, we were in a mashup and I was jamming for some reason because I guess she just makes me jam every time I'm in a mashup, and it was one of my first adult games, and this is like crazy because like I didn't even realize this until like 3 years ago, and I've been playing this sport forever, so it's like you can learn little things that seem to me, now that I think about it, I'm like, gosh, why didn't I know that? So I was jamming for some reason and I called off the jam. And she like pulled me to the side and she was like, "Why did you call it off?" And I was like, because the opposing jammer was like tailing me. And she was like, "You need to look in the penalty box and see like what position you're in, like with your blockers versus theirs and like all that sort of thing." So she basically told me to like look into the penalty box. If I have all my blockers in the penalty box, why would I want to call it, especially if I could potentially get them out? And then that just, like, stuck with me from there on out. She didn't say it super meanly or whatever, but it's just a little bit of constructive criticism that I think about every time, and I think about her. I'm like, Storm told me to look in the penalty box. So that's, like, one of mine that I have. I see her face. I see her
she's
face.
She's, like, in your head. She's in like, "Shelby, brain every don't time. Call it off."
"Why'd you call it off?" Literally, I think about her all the time just because of that. But I also thank her so much because I would have never thought about that. And, like I said, now that I think back, I'm like, gosh, why didn't I know that?
I'll have to tell her that tomorrow. I'll probably see her tomorrow. Just... later. But I...
You're like, you hot, Shelby.
I agree with you, though, that, like, this is regarding teammates giving more constructive criticism rather than criticism that's just harsh and meanful. Like what was said to you, Zoom, that was definitely not necessary at all.
No. But it worked out for the better because after that, I kept getting lead for most of my, actually, weirdly enough, most of my borrowed games, I kept getting lead.
Good. Yeah.
On my main team, I always got stuck.
We've talked about different tournaments coming up and all sorts of games and experiences with photography and roller derby photography specifically. Where has it taken you? What are some places you've gone to?
I would love to go further, but so far the furthest I've gone was probably Ventura. So that's about a 3-hour drive on a good day.
What are those places you'd love to, to go? What are those places you'd like to go?
I would like to go photograph in like Arizona. Yeah, even Vegas, because some of the Arizona teams are actually really good, and I'll follow them every now and then. And I would just love to take off work to just go there and photograph of them. Even Texas, I would like to go down to Texas and photograph too. I would like to travel more with my photography, but it's kind of hard with my full time job.
Right. Boo.
Right. Boo.
I can just get paid to go do photographing roller derby all the time. I totally would.
Right.
I was so sad. Like, I went to Pittsburgh this summer for family reasons, and the Steel City Rollers, I'm pretty sure that's who they are, they had had their week, their bout a week before I got there. I was like, no, I would have photographed them. Oh, I wasn't happy about that, but it is what it is. Maybe next time I'm out there.
Right. Just bring the camera everywhere, you know? Just be like, you got to practice. Got a practice I could drop in on.
Hey, I would love to do that. Just photograph all the practices.
So, you know, you've mentioned you do a lot of editing and a lot of different stuff for the military, and I assume you've probably photographed a bunch of different things in your time. Oh. What got you kind of started? Like, was it just you kind of mentioned your mom and stuff, but what was, I guess, your subject of choice prior to roller derby? Did you do sports photography, or was it more like taking pictures of people?
So it started off with me really just kind of taking the camera everywhere and just clicking and just having fun with that. Then it turned into I wanted to work with models. And weirdly enough, that industry just didn't fit for my needs. And so I also, actually, that is actually a good memory. When I was younger, I actually wanted to shoot for the NFL.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That was one of my biggest goals. I wanted to shoot for the NFL because I love sports that much. But their freelance contracts are a little bizarre. So I just kind of stayed away from that. Then it just kind of turned into night photography. So when I did retire and I decided this is what I wanted to do, I actually am the happiest little person when I'm photographing this sport.
You're like, this is the one. Can somebody correct me if I'm wrong? Does anybody have any idea? I thought that there was a roller derby photographer. Sorry, I'm just not getting it out. I thought there was a roller derby photographer that did go photograph some stuff in the NFL, but I can't remember. And I'm trying to do some quick research on it, like right now, of course.
I've never heard of this.
But I swear I saw an article. I swear I saw an article somewhere of somebody. But I just can't remember. Nobody has any ideas.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure either. I feel like I'm not going to find it. But for some reason, I thought that there was somebody or someone that did something like that. But I think that's a really interesting ambition to want to do that. Yeah. I think that's so awesome, actually. I love seeing like the direction that a lot of like social media platforms for different colleges and the NFL teams and stuff, the direction that they're going with promoting themselves. I think that it's really cool. They're doing a lot more personal content with the players, asking them questions and stuff. And I feel like it's really cool to see how connected the, you know, they keep their players with the world. Yeah. It's really cool, the direction that we're going.
It is really cool.
Next, we just need roller derby or WFTDA or just roller derby as a whole needs to turn into like the NFL. It needs to be as big. It needs to be as big as football is in America. Please.
Please.
Yeah, I don't.
One day we'll get there.
Do you guys ever? This is just me now rambling. Do you guys ever think of a world or like a different universe where roller derby is like mainstream, like American football? Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Somebody pick me
that
up.
That would be
on
so cool. There's like the Super Bowl, but it's roller derby.
That would be great.
One day
we'll get there.
Literally, somebody give me $1 million for a bonus sack like the Chiefs gave Chris Jones.
That?
Like what?
I'm like, who are you talking about?
Chiefs player. He had to get like so many. He had to get so many sacks for like the quarterback, and he got $1 million for it just for a bonus. They were just like, if you get this many sacks, here you go. Here's $1 million. Somebody
talking
pick
about
me up.
Football on a roller derby podcast, huh?
Sorry, that's probably
I'll
my
take,
fault.
Oh, you're fine.
I'll take some people out for $1 million. Who's endorsing this?
Oh god.
If you don't get a single penalty.
Ooh. Come on.
That'd be a challenge.
Yeah, bro.
That could be like a fundraiser.
I swear, somebody give me money. Yeah, that could be actually kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, but then here's the thing, Emma. If we get penalties, then we have to be fined for it.
I don't know about that.
That's what the
that.
NFL does. That's what the
Wait,
NFL
what?
Does.
They fine people?
Yeah, they fine what? You for penalties.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
What?
Football's rough.
That's crazy.
So, do
I
we want a mainstream
man.
Or?
I kind of like I like how niche roller derby is, but I do wish my thing is, as like I talked about earlier, is I just wish more people understood and weren't so ignorant, I guess, and just I don't know. I just
the word of the
I
day.
Ran into so many people that just don't respect it as a sport, and people will genuinely say, is that even a sport? And I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, and there's just so many people that just misunderstand it in general. Like, even my grandma doesn't like roller derby. Like, it, disgusts her, unfortunately, because she thinks it's just so dangerous.
So is football.
Yeah, I know. They all have, brain damage. They do.
That's very good.
They just run at each other head straight.
Yeah, I think there's far less. I'm not gonna say there's far less injuries, but there's very minor injuries that I've seen over my years of playing too. More than football.
Go check out our episode with Dr. Liz, where we talk about brain injuries.
Yep.
You scroll down in our previous episodes.
I'll go back into my Spotify, but I
think talk
all
about
that
it.
One. That was a good one.
All right. So, we kind of mentioned the sports. Did you ever get to, photograph any other sports, or was it just kind of, taking pictures or whatever?
The only other sport, not professionally, I photographed was paintball, and that was, maybe twice. Paintball was interesting.
Yeah, that's different. No, that's cool.
Because you had more people worried about the camera than actually them focusing on them. Like, I'm up away from you guys. You guys are fine. Don't worry about me. They were trying not to ruin it because they see a big lens and they're like, oh no, that probably costs a lot of money, and they're just scared to do that.
Right.
Other than that, paintball was pretty fun.
That sounds like it'd be interesting to take pictures of, definitely.
And then I think last year toward the end of off season, I was actually photographing our local softball girl team that we were doing, so hopefully this year I can do more of that as well.
Nice.
Yeah, do you think that do you think there's a big difference between photographing these other sports versus roller derby? Are there any major differences?
So, like, with softball, it's harder for me because I don't quite understand the sport too much, even though I played it, but I was really, really little when I played. And I can't use strobes like I can with roller derby. So it's all natural light versus my flash photography that I use for to freeze that motion kind of deal.
Interesting. I've noticed a lot of photographers use those big lights, like the industrial light flash things. Is that almost necessary in a lot of like roller derby photography?
Not necessarily. Without them, they do make it a little bit more challenging. Just because, what's the best way to I'm trying to think of, like, the better way to explain it. So what those lights do is not only do they light up the frame itself, but it kind of freezes the motion in a way that doesn't look funky in a sense. So, like, if you're taking a photograph and you see, like, a blur across of it, that the flashes usually reduce that blur kind of deal.
I did not know that.
Kind of helps with clarity and
yeah,
stuff.
It basically puts it into a better freeze frame in a way.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's
it's
really
so
interesting.
Hard to explain versus if
no
versus
yeah.
without taking those or without using the strobes and you're just clicking, you have more chance of a it's kind of cool, but on certain things you don't want a completely blurred out set of photos. Mm-hmm. Because the shutter just can't keep up with the skaters.
I am curious. I've talked to a lot of different, like, we have some photographers in our league, and one of them has discussed that during derby bouts, he takes an astronomical amount of photos. How many, give or take an estimate, how many photos do you take during just a regular bout, I guess?
I want to say a little over 700 photos.
Jeez. And you gotta comb through all of those, assume.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I think in total for all of last year, because last year we were busy in California. Once January hit, it was just go, go, go. Mm. Want to say it took about 20,000 photos.
That's crazy. Insane.
Yeah.
So out of that 700, how many do you think, like, make the cut?
I try to keep it around 100-ish.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I try. But I also don't want, like, I try to capture everybody. I don't want it to be like, oh, there goes the same jammer over and over again kind of thing, even though it feels that way sometimes. Because jammers are actually easier to photograph than blockers, and it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Blockers like to be clumped together, and it totally makes sense why. That I'm like, I gotta get your portrait somehow into this. So I aim. So depending on the sport, I think it's like, or not the sport, the gameplay, I try to give it about 100, but then I slowly reduce it.
Mm.
So I want to say anywhere between 50 to 70 is really what I'll put out. Because then everything will start looking
like the good ones.
Yeah, or it'll just end up looking the same. And I'm like, let's not do that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Wow. I knew photographers took a lot of pictures, but I didn't know it's that much.
Yeah. Do you think that you enjoy editing photos just as much as you enjoy taking them, or
when it's maybe one or two bouts, I do enjoy editing them. But when it's like Thing Scrimmage is like our biggest scrimmage of the year that Prison City puts on. And that is an all day event. So after I'm done photographing that, because toward the end of the day, that's when I'm like, I need to slow it down a little bit. But right. Once I get to the end.
Oh, I could only imagine.
Yeah,
I could imagine a tournament.
Ooh, yeah.
I will say, however, I've been to some tournaments where it'll be like, I played the first day, and then like that night, photographers are like dropping photos.
Yes.
I'm like, dang, y'all are working overtime.
A lot of, if you got the, if I can't even talk right now. If we have the ability to do that, absolutely. But tournaments, I try to do it a game a day. Just for my own, like I said, have to go through all those photos. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think, how much did I take for Thing Scrimmage last year? I want to say it took, I think it was close to 2,000 photos.
What?
Just for that alone. Yeah, just for that whole day because I had to space it out. So when it comes to tournaments, I try to kind of keep them within like a 500 photo range. Mm-hmm. That way, A, I can save up my batteries, I can save my flashes, and still manage to enjoy the day.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Looking out for your own sanity is important.
Yes.
Yeah, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
And going through all those photos, it can definitely overwhelm you as well.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
So I have to take those a step a day. Like, I think for this, there's like a 3-game that we just did for Orange County. Mm-hmm. They just had their crash in the new year. I think in total, I think just those 3 games, because it was kind of a lighter scrimmage. I want to say about my normal range of 700, but I only posted maybe 75. I posted maybe 60 of them.
Oh, wow.
Into those games, just because it was a lot of repetitive and there's a lot of falls that I didn't want to show people either. Mm-hmm. I knew when it comes to edit, when it comes to photos, I try to avoid the falling unless it's a really good fall.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for skaters to get a better picture? I know it's not ideally for that, you know what I mean? But you know, I've read things about, like, you know, be careful what underwear you're wearing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the flash can, you know, make them pop out a little bit. So do you have any, like, advice for that to help skaters, like, save themselves to hopefully get, like, a better shot?
That's a good question. Let's see. Because I know one of the ones I did, I didn't even realize that my compression pants were see-through. So yeah, you can kind of see where mine. That's a good question. I don't even know. I always feel bad because, like, everyone has a derby face when I take photos, but I always feel bad because I'm I want you guys to look cute still too, but I can't because I get it. It's a serious sport.
I like always have my mouth open. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
panting. Panting like a dog.
I know whenever I was playing, there was one photo in particular, I literally looked like a deer without headlights. So I have the best advice I can give is, I don't really have any. It's so hard
to just after the jam look at you, right? Just get your attention.
I try to
get your attention and pose.
Because I think whenever I'm editing, I try to look for people that are actually looking away from the camera. Just because I've noticed that when they, unless they're making silly faces. I mean, if that would probably be advice too. If you see the camera in front of you, just make a silly face. That way you don't get all that derby faces.
So be careful what undies you wear.
Yes.
Make sure they're not like fluorescent.
Black pants, black underwear, black pants, and hopefully they're not see-through.
Mm-hmm.
So thick shorts, or actually out here thick we shorts. Wear a lot of shorts out here because it's hot.
Yeah. Out on the sand dunes or whatever.
Summertimes out here are brutal.
I bet. And then we spoke briefly about the new year, and you know it's January now. It's 2024. Do you have any goals for 2024 that can be derby-related, photography-related, any sorts of goals?
Try not to get burnout like I did last year. Mm. That's definitely, like, the biggest goal I have. Because, like I said, last year, me and my photography buddy, we did, like, 20 bouts within the first 3 months. Oof. It felt like, it was a lot. And he had actually He took his halt for a little bit, and I totally get why.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I kind of took my halt because I started feeling it around October. Then I'm just like, I need my break. I need my sanity. And now we're right back into it, and I'm ready all over again.
Nice.
So this time I just have to pace myself. My goal is to pace myself.
Yeah. Pacing is, especially in the derby world, I don't know. I also played sports when I was younger, and I don't know if this is probably just because I've gotten more involved with roller derby. It kind of just, once you find that roller derby is for you, it kind of just sucks you in, and soon enough you're doing all sorts of things derby related. But I think, especially in derby, you find yourself getting very overwhelmed very fast because it's all volunteer work, you know? None of us get paid to do what we do. As much as that would be nice, but we do it for the sport and the people. But I think it's rarely easy to get burnout in the derby world, especially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where was my train of thought going?
I feel like a lot of it is because we are so self-sufficient. You know, your players have to run the team. You have to have a board made of your players primarily. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have a lot of this, which is pretty typical among a lot of teams. So it's so easy for those players that just kind of want to play to get roped into having to do like other roles. But they want to, you know, because you want to keep your team going and you want it to be successful. But ideally, maybe it would be better if there were people that didn't skate that were in charge. Just so your skaters didn't have to actively think about all the other things.
I actually agree with that, too, because that's kind of sort of what happened with us. Our skater was our president was our skater, and then our coach was also kind of a skater. It was all bad.
Yeah.
It just gets overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming. And then you got different ideas, and they were just headbutting, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's... The I have roller derby is very real when you're very invested in the sport.
Right. I think we've all
had
that.
Missed out on a lot of things.
Even with me photographing, I find myself doing that quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't, I got this sport, I gotta do it this day, so we'll make another day that we can.
Right.
So I don't even play anymore. But it makes me sad knowing I still say that.
Right, you're so well, hopefully, you know, hopefully for the 2024 season year or in the near future, maybe there'll be a league that opens up that's a little closer to you. Maybe that can be our, I mean, we can manifest that, try to manifest
I've been
it.
Manifesting
hopefully
forever.
It'll pop up. You've been, you're like, been there, done that.
No, I'm still manifesting it, but it's just, it's hard out here to do it.
Yeah.
Because we actually, when we were having our derby, when we were doing our boot camp, a lot of people, again, didn't quite understand what the sport was when they realized after like 3 weeks of just our boot camp alone, mm-hmm. how really difficult it was. That's kind of when we started losing players as well, or potential players, and people just out here don't quite realize that as much.
Yeah.
They just want to skate. They just want to have fun. They don't want to put in the work.
Yeah,
I'm like, ugh.
Maybe you guys are looking more in the direction of like a skating club or something.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are.
Isn't roller derby? Isn't roller derby, but still a community.
It is still a community. We actually had a decent amount of skater clubs out here for a while, and just over time, it just sort of vanished. You don't really see a lot of them anymore.
Right, kind of falls apart, fizzles out a little bit.
Yep. Because we don't have very many places out here. So it's always the same scenery.
Somebody's going to have to pop up a Morton building.
Yeah.
Emma learned what a Morton building was in our last episode.
Yep.
Well, on that kind of sad ending note. Well, hopeful. Manifesting. We're manifesting.
This is going to happen.
Yes, it is.
This is going to happen. Somebody's going to have to invest in a Morton building or a concrete slab. Does it rain?
Not very often.
Okay, we don't even need it covered. We just need a concrete
slab. Exactly.
we're manifesting for. But with that being said, we don't really have any other questions for you. But if you have anything that you'd like to add or anything that you're interested in asking us, you're welcome to ask away.
Okay. I think I have one. Wait, where was my question list that I sent you guys? I'm like looking at what I sent you. So what, I actually asked this quite a lot whenever I was playing. What is a derby player's psych-up song that gets them ready for bouts? Oh. I'm always curious to know what they like.
I don't think anybody's asked this.
Well, no, he has asked that. That's pretty good. That's a good question. Yeah. Give me just, I got to look through my
Shelby's a big listen. Like, I've learned this about her. She is a big hype-up, listen-to-music person. I do occasionally, but I don't, like, if I don't listen to music, I'm not gonna, like, shoot, I didn't listen to music. But if I had to pick, oh god. Oops, hit my mic. Oh my goodness.
Okay, I got a few, so I'm gonna give you three of them.
Nice.
So, I really vibe with Help by Papa Roach.
Okay.
It's a pretty hardcore one. This one's a little controversial because a lot of people dislike Nickelback, but I like listening to Burn It to the Ground by Nickelback.
It's another...
I like that song.
I'm not gonna lie, I like it too.
And then, kind of a turn of vibe, this song just makes me feel kind of cocky. But I like this song Cooler Than Me.
Nice. I know that one. Okay.
No, that's
I just feel like it makes me feel kind of like a badass. Like I'm a little cool.
No, that's a good choice. I like that a lot.
Those okay. are my tops. Nice.
I have one that comes to mind. I don't know what it is about this song. It's not hardcore. It's not rock and roll. It's just a classic. It makes me feel good. Like, it makes me feel like I'm walking on sunshine and everything's going to be all right. It's Africa by Toto.
Nice. I love that song.
It's so good.
It's good.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah, it just gets me in a good mood. Good. You know, so.
That's good.
What about you, Zoom?
No, yeah.
Me, when I was playing, it was actually, I know the band. I know it's Fort Minor. What was it? I don't remember the title of it, though. I know it was Fort Minor.
Fort Minor.
Hold on, let me look that. I'm going to look that up real quick. Hold on.
Okay.
I can hear it in my head. I think it's Are You Ready, but I could be wrong.
You can just sing it to us. No, I'm kidding.
So it kind of goes into the little bit of the cockiness, but it's Remember the Name from Fort Minor.
I'm not familiar with that song.
Yeah, it's like my little workout song that I'll work out to and whatnot. So that was always my thing whenever I write a workout.
Oh, I know that song. Never mind. No, yeah.
I don't
sure.
know why.
No,
I do just know that song. Always my song. Never figured out why.
Yeah, I'm so, I feel like I'm so like diverse in what makes me excited. Or whatever, or anxious for a game, or I feel like I say anxious a lot, but I use anxiety in a good way sometimes. But like songs like Cooler Than Me, like it just makes me feel like pump, like cocky, like I don't know.
And that's kind of
what's about.
Yeah,
it.
That's kind of what Remember the Name does for me.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It's like you feel cool.
You gotta feel swaggy, you know.
Yeah, you gotta get that swag, your vibe, a little pep in your step.
Exactly.
That was a great question. I've never.
No, yeah, that's a good one. I'm curious to start asking that question.
Because it's a fun question that I used to ask a bunch of derby players. I don't know why. Mostly because I'm interested in music taste.
There you go.
So.
That's awesome. Well.
That's all we have. For our viewers, make sure to check us out at the Track Talk Podcast on all the social media platforms. Primarily, if you go to our Instagram at the Track Talk Podcast, we have a link tree in our bio. And if you click on that, it'll take you to Emma and I's Instagram, all the different social media platforms that we have for the podcast, as well as other ways that you can listen to us. And then Zoom, let us know where we can find you.
Alrighty. You can find me at Instagram, InvaderZoom42, or on my Facebook, where I primarily post all of my derby photos at Zoom Photography. And that's about the only two that I use. I should start using TikTok again, but I'm really bad with content.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
It was a blast.
Yeah, it's been a blast. It was really fun talking to you, and we really appreciate that question. We're gonna be stealing that from you.
Do it. It's always
ours now. All right, and thank you guys for listening to us. We really appreciate it, and we hope you guys have a good rest of your day. All right, bye guys. Bye. 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 Bye.